Awesome. Welcome, everyone, to the Late Night Restaurant Show, the only late night restaurant show in North America, probably on the world, too. But who's counting? Anyways, we have a great guest tonight. Michael, are you in New York? I can't hear you, so just nod. Anyways, we've got a legend on the show tonight, literally a legend. And also, we're doing something different tonight that we've never done before. And just as I text the guy, like, how many times I have to tell the guy that we're doing his products today, where my show is showing. But we're live on all the social channels tonight, and then this will be up on our podcast channel. But reminders that tonight is not a podcast. It's never been a podcast, but we're excited about this. So we're going to bring the cameras on here in a second. But before we do that, we have to talk about the National Restaurant Show in Chicago that's happening next Saturday to Tuesday, May 18th to the 21st. And all that good stuff. You know what? If you're not going, you suck. You should go because it is awesome. And there's 55,000 professionals going to be there, 700,000 square feet, which is really a big room. I wonder how many bathrooms they have. Well, probably a lot. Anyways. Enjoy tonight, people. This is a legend we have, and we have a surprise tonight that we haven't done. First time we've ever done this before, so hopefully it works. If it doesn't, we just won't do it again. But anyways, I think it's going to be perfect. So anyways, enjoy tonight. Here we go. Here we go. Michael, welcome to your first. You've been asking to be on the show, and I'm like scared to ask you because you're a legend to be on the late night restaurant show.
I am a legend. I'm kidding. No. Here's the thing. First of all, you can't do an intro like that because you don't really get to become a legend until you're dead. You don't get to decide that other people decide that.
What?
Very sweet of you. The reason why I had the smirk on my face when you came on was because I was actually admiring your intro. The shot of the guy eating the burger.
Is that a buddy of yours? That's my co-host in his 80s. in the 1980s when he had hair to mullet and a burger.
That's all in the 80s, not in his 80s. Okay.
No. He's not. Yeah. I have an 80-year-old co-host. Yes.
Yeah. You do that to make yourself feel good. I get it. That's good.
That's how we do it in Canada. We bring on really old seniors to our shows.
Dude, I can't wait to talk to you about Canada. Like, I like the way you drop it. I've been begging you to be on your show. And it's the absolute truth. So it's like we have a deal. I beg to be on the show, and then he calls me a legend. So it works out well.
Well, you are. I've heard so many good things about you, and then I've had a chance to be on a few with you, with Monty, and your knowledge. Like, I can just sit and – do you know what you should do? You should create – you should be one of those sleep app voices. Right? You just talk.
First of all, I talk way too fast. Like, there's no way. I'll give them an anxiety disorder.
You know what? Let's talk food cost. You don't want to do one of those, and then you just like, this is what you should do. And you do that all night?
I understand all that stuff entrepreneurially and obviously on an operations level, but I want to blow my brains out. Like, what's fun about that?
I know, but I was just thinking just a different way. It's another vertical, as they say, another vertical for your brand.
Vertical is really big right now. That's the big one. Vertical pivot. Let's talk about the
Are we bringing back the P word?
Yeah, there's pivot. There's vertical. Everything now requires some sort of positive thing, which is good, I guess. But it's just funny that this is the new trend.
Well, I am honored to have you on our show. And you are our first guest that we're doing something different with. I saw it works. You know, I was watching Fallon the other night, and I was like, you know what? He's got a cooking thing on there, so we're going to copy that. You know, I said, if they call me then and say that you can't copy my shit, Jay, I will then celebrate, because that means we're actually making something noise out there. But we have something special tonight, and just because you're it's really because you're on the show, Michael, that we're doing this tonight.
I'm really excited. I was going to say it's exciting to be here, but I'm actually in my house. So I'm really excited to be on your show. Honestly, like, I love what you do. It's really cool. And it doesn't feel like a podcast, which is great.
Well, we also are not a podcast, by the way.
I know. But you know what I mean?
I know. We pretend we're not, but we sometimes get classified as one. But we try not. And like tonight, I'm in the middle of a hotel lobby doing this. And this is the third show that we did tonight in the hotel lobby. I was at a restaurant today, Michael. Oh, my God. I was at a restaurant today. Been around since 81. And we talked about his dad passed. And it was like an emotional podcast. It was pretty heavy. It was incredible. It was beautiful. And it was one of those restaurants that just are, you know, a staple forever. And man, was it incredible talking to him today. So I had that awesome opportunity to do that. Sorry?
What city?
In Saskatoon.
Okay.
Do you even know where that is?
No, I don't. But I've heard that name before, because I've been to Canada about four times.
Well, you know Seven Shifts.
Yeah, of course.
So this is the home of Seven Shifts.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Seven Shifts is downtown here. So, yeah, it's really in the middle of nowhere. But you know what? It's called the Paris of the Prairies. And they say that because it's gorgeous. It's a beautiful little city in the middle of nowhere. No one knows about it. We don't want anyone to know about it, too, because it's just perfect. It's just a perfect little city. And the food scene here is just gorgeous as well. The restaurants are just amazing. I've had some of the most incredible meals here this week. And just the people are just so nice. They're just so nice. I've had people walking up going like, what are you doing? Podcasting. They're like, okay, well, I'll listen tonight. You know, those kind of things. So, and then I've done a couple of shows here. I got to tell you about this because I'm proud of it. It's all about me, by the way. No, the show.
Oh, yeah. I'm really happy you're on my show. This is great.
This is what we do. We invite people on our show that we talk about ourselves. I did a lecture this week. I did it last week as well in Whistler on dishing out optimism is what it was called. And I'm tired of talking about all the negative crap in our industry right now. I literally am tired. After almost 1,500 shows, I'm tired. I'm done with that talk. So I've been doing some lectures on looking at the industry through like more of a being an optimistic viewpoint and being in very, you know, that we know that there's shit out there, not saying that there isn't, but really looking at things more positively. And it's been awesome. So you know what I did? I showed you the hand trick the other day, right? I showed you the hand trick when we were on that one show where it made your finger grow.
Oh, yeah, but to tell everybody who's watching.
Right? So you take your hands, this one, you can do it again. You want to try it again? You take your line here, this line here, and you put it together. Mirror it up, and your fingers will be slightly longer than the other one, like mine is. Mm-hmm. Then you tell your shorter one to grow 8 times, and it will actually grow. And then you put it back, and then they're the same height, right? So we did that, but then what we did on this one is that we hollered at water for a minute in a glass on the table to try to make it taste bad. So imagine 100 and some people in a room at all tables. One glass in the middle of the table, and the tables are literally screaming at a glass of water that it tastes bad for 1 minute.
You know what this reminds me of? Go ahead, continue.
No. What does it remind you of?
You ever seen Ghostbusters 2? the whole thing is about the gel that's out of the city, and they talk to it, and it creates
what it bubbles up.
Emotion, so when they yell at it, it reacts.
Shit, you're right.
Yeah.
I forgot about that. That's exactly right. So now I'm not going to do that because it reminds me of it. No, we did that just to show the power of it wasn't really the idea around making the water taste bad. It was the fact that I told them that they could believe in making water taste bad, that they all believed in the whole room that they could do that.
Well, this goes to that class. That's a great point, because this goes to the thing we always talk about, this when it comes to people's perception of food or beverage. We always tell people, like, listen, and this is, there was actually a test done on this where they actually used electrodes for this back in the 60s. And what they did was they got a Michelin starred chef to cook a very classic, like, steak, potatoes, and asparagus, and a glass of red wine. and they had the same person eat it with electrodes on them, but they put them in a warm cabin with rain outside and a fireplace and the whole deal, and they curated the whole experience. They did the same exact plate of food, same dish, served the right way, and it was served in a prison cell.
Okay.
So the feedback on the food was completely different because they didn't realize they were in a test.
So no way. Seriously?
Your environment, your temperature, everything that your brain perceives something to be is why it's so good. Hence also why you're starving, crap food tastes good. Think about that. It makes no sense. Your brain shades it.
Do you find restaurants sometimes just don't believe in what they're doing?
Oh, what a great question. Not to be negative.
No. No negative here.
No, for sure. I don't think it's that. I think that people don't understand how much power they have in any space they create for other people to inhabit. Right? Like, if you think about the difference in, like, I always use Disney as an example, but if you think about Walt Disney, there's plenty of guys in that time who made theme parks and fairs. Mm-hmm. Right? But did they care about, I hate to say it, but, like, in this way, the guest experience and taking everything so personal to say every single person, everything that person feels, touches, tastes, etc., all really six senses is my responsibility. That's a very different, right? So when you're a restaurant owner, a hotel owner, and you say every single thing that anyone perceives is my responsibility, that's a different level of awareness.
Wow.
You know, so I think it's more of an awareness thing more so than people not caring.
I think, I think they care.
I think they care. I don't think they realize what business they're in.
Well, yeah. Like, do you think that some restaurants just don't make it because of that? It's not because of the food, location. Sometimes maybe it's the operational, you know, running the operations of it. But do you think sometimes they just don't have that spirit or that drive?
I think yes. And I think the most binary answer I could give you would be if you're in a business of fixing cars and you can't fix them, you're going out of business very quick. Right. But in hospitality, they think you cannot not be hospitable, understand service and be of service to other people. Yeah. I think they can skip that part and somehow the car is going to get fixed. It doesn't. You go out of business and they go, oh, the business sucks, or it was a bad location, or this mm-hmm. and that. You can have a crappy location, crappy food and crappy drinks and do very well if you understand the game you're in.
Do you? Yeah, well, I see that a lot. I really do. I see it more than everything is all the restaurants that I've working with. And it's amazing how many just don't. Well, I want to share this with you too, because I want to get into that, because we are, you know, we're looking at doing more and more coaching and integrating AI into coaching and stuff like this up here in Canada, doing all that crazy shit. So we can actually stay close to all the cool stuff you guys do down there. But it's what we're finding right now is just people just not having that. I don't want to say spirit. It's almost like this drive. It's this weird drive that they've been defeated almost so much and they just keep hearing this negative shit. And I just want to create that positive for them. I want to create that mind that you can do it. Mm. And I don't know, like, cause you know, much stuff I've talked to with restaurants, like over the 20 some years I've been doing this, is you get and you sit with them and then you go through everything over. This is what you're doing wrong. And here's what you can improve on and blah, 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 blah. Every corner. And then they come back and they haven't done anything. And I want to create this idea where they can believe. And that was a big part. So what we did, this actually, it was some of the people in the audience were posting on TikTok today. TikTok was, I asked them to start creating gratitude vlogs every day on social. And actually, I think when you post stuff on social within a gratitude model, it almost holds you accountable within what you say that you're grateful for. So I actually saw it today. Gary was his name. And he's a great guy. He owns a restaurant here, just south of here. And he was doing his, and I said, for 2 weeks, if you do a gratitude vlog for 2 weeks, stuff will change. And I said, I'll guarantee it. I don't know if it will, but I feel it will. And I just want to create this energy that people can do anything in this industry if you just have the right mind. And you keep thinking positive. And
Look, I appreciate that. I think there's a couple things. So let me just tell all your listeners out there that I'm a very positive guy, but also I'm not trying to win a fucking popularity contest. I'm trying to be authentic. And I think we live in a world now where everybody's terrified of that.
Why is that, though? Why is that, Michael?
Well, because I think we live in an attention economy. And when you look at social media, when you look at social media as an example, so I do this test all the time. You know, when you go on social media and you look at people taking pictures of their fucking pastrami sandwich and they're showing the whole world that the most interesting thing. The Patrick Connors is a very, very good friend of mine, and his beautiful fiance Juliana just texted me about the sleep app idea you have. And
oh, she, shit, did he say?
Yeah, sorry, his fiance said it. And they're two of my favorite people on the planet. I love them, and they're my family. I love them so much.
I love it, dude.
And a big shout out to Stetson. No, I mean, like, look, right now, if I told you, let me just take the schmuck who did the pastrami sandwich, okay?
Okay, yeah.
I took that guy, let's say he's a normal everyday Joe, and he goes, ah, look at my pastrami sandwich. I want something to post about so I get the dopamine hits on the likes.
Yeah.
Right? If I told him, hey, this is going to be published in the New York Times, would you say this and post this? And they'd say, well, no, of course not. And say, right, because that would be credible and you would care about your message. But because it's just your feed, you can be a moron, a thoughtless moron. Now, I'm not saying for the people out there who are like, what, I can't be proud of what I had for lunch, right? That's not what I'm saying.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is, if you told me right now I could post a message on the on you know Us Weekly or the New York Times or the Washington Post, I would think very carefully about what I would write. Right, but with social media, we just have carte blanche to vomit out any thought we have. We basically fart digitally, right? and that's what it is. So I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with doing mindless fun posts. What I'm saying is, when that's the trend, there's a problem. Stetson is awesome. Stetson is the man. So anyway, he's a very sweet puppy. So basically, it's one of those things where I look at it and go, look, just imagine your voice is important. So that's what you can see people aren't. It's why Sylvester Stallone doesn't like go online and say stupid shit, look at my sandwich, because he's Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah.
Because the people will judge him. So I'm just saying, like, my point is, in an attention economy, I think that a lot of people use social media and they don't really feel that valuable to begin with, or they'd really care about what they have to say. And also, how about this? What if I, like, the perspective in social media, and I don't mean to be on a soapbox here, but I do look at it this way. What if I told myself, just like an operator or restaurant owner or any or Walt Disney, what if my words actually affected another person? And what if they gained something from what I had to say? Right? What a concept, right? Like, versus look at me.
Well,
me.
Well, you know, sorry, I interrupted you there, Michael. Sorry. That's what you get.
I accept your apology.
There you go. Thank you. Well, I want to say this because I did this just the other day, and I apologize. I screwed up. Well, I'll do it tomorrow. But every week I said we should. So I posted, actually, I did a call, a shout out to Monty. So I said Tuesdays, I said, we post so much about ourselves, and then people will tag people in the bottom, and they do this big list of, first of all, I hate it. So I'm just going to be
honest. I did it today. I get it. You know, I get it.
Right? They do this list. I'm not a fan of it because I'm not on the list all the time. But anyways, I do. They do this list. I'm more jealous. Maybe that's it. That's okay. But I said, why don't we post about other people? Like, do a post direct about them and get other people to do a shout out to, like Monty we did. And I cannot believe how many people had a comment about Monty because we took a minute and just posted about someone else. To your point, why don't we take a minute and just post about other people opposed to trying to gain from something that we've done for the audience?
Mm-hmm.
Am I blue? I don't know. I did again. I did Rolfi last week. And then this week I got stuck because I've been traveling. But I just think there's an opportunity to be grateful for these people in our lives and to give them the platform that we have. And to shine, make, you know, shine. And Christian's done this with a lot of the stuff that he's done too. But I just think there's an opportunity there to do more of that. And I think that's similar to what you were mentioning.
Sure.
Is right. You know, like this whole social media thing is just.
This is why I fucking love Canadians. Okay. Because I'm doing right now, I'm doing a talk show. What the layman person would go, oh, it's a podcast. So this is awesome because only Canadian hosts would be talking about the fact that we need to post about other people and build them up. This is why I fucking love you guys. Because it's real. It's authentic. Like, you genuinely are taking
the time. Well,
you know, I think it's great.
Well, Michael, you're right. Like, we were doing a show. I was listening to a show. I don't really listen to my own shows. But I was listening to a show
That's
today.
A lie. Driving, you're a liar. Of course you
do. No, I'm fucking serious. Well, I know. I'm serious. I listen once. My voice drives me crazy. But I was listening to, because I had a passenger with me today. I was driving off at the airport. And Kevin, I said, you got to listen to this. It's funny as shit. Like, I was talking about, we had Christian on and we were talking about the fact, you know, they were talking about me, which was weird. And just mentioning that, Jay, you are who you are. Like, and that's who I am. Like, what you see, I'm a schmuck. Like, I try the most. I've been in the industry forever in my life and I'm grateful for all that, but there's nothing there. I cannot be fake. I try. I can't, or I try lying and I can't. And sometimes it gets me in serious shit because I'm more true than, and more authentic than maybe I should be. Or I'll sit in boardrooms and I'll be like, no, this is not how it is. And I think it's important to do that because here's my theory on it. Until you know where you stand, it's hard to improve or go forward. And I find too many people don't know really where they stand, or they're not
on. Can I interrupt you?
Because you're fucking right. You can interrupt anytime.
You're spot on.
You're Michael Tim.
You know, you're very sweet to me. But no, it's this. It's like what you're saying resonates to me because I talk about this all the time when I work with clients, or I mean, I call them clients, but people that I work with. And I always say, like, look, all it's like, you know, all progress starts with the truth. So even for myself, like I have to look in the mirror every day and go, where am I full of shit? Where am I completely full of shit? And if when I stop doing that, I get in trouble because I start recognizing the fact that when I can't look myself in the mirror and go, this is where you're completely full of shit and you're not being authentic to yourself, you got a fucking problem. And it's taken me till my 40s to start doing that because you kind of skip my 30s. You skate by it a little bit. You're really excited about the fact that you're out of your 20s. And in your 20s, you're basically excited that you're not a kid anymore. And then all of a sudden you go, okay, I'm not going to get anywhere. This is to your point. Until I can look in the mirror and go, okay, what's my actual arsenal? What am I working with, for better or worse? And then once I do that, my days look great. I handle people in the way that I can be a benefit to them. And that doesn't always mean telling them what they want to hear either.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, and it's also like, well, I'm lucky because same thing for me. I get to work with by far the greatest group of professionals maybe in the country, in one group, I mean. You know, it's pretty epic. So I'm very lucky in that way. And I get, you know, I've been lucky. I get to surround myself with incredible people.
Well, on that note, because you're incredible. And like I said, it's awesome to have you on the show. Let's introduce our new segment that we're introducing tonight, people. Michael, what should we call it?
We should call it Look, But Don't.
I'd name it after you, but that's kind of cheesy.
That's cheesy because my last name, the tips thing. Like, I would say this. I would say, how about look, but don't touch? Because what it really is torture for people. Right? It's like, look, we're going to get a great chef.
We're going to talk. All right, let's bring him in.
You can't have, but enjoy yourself.
All right, well, enjoy this, folks. This is our first segment integrated into Late Night Show. We did this because Michael's on the show tonight. And we know how important food is in our industry. So we found this chef to do this. So welcome. Let's welcome Daniel, chef.
How are you?
Daniel Calabrese.
There you go. Look at that. Michael said it. I didn't want to say it because apparently I've been freaking it up for a couple years.
You've been butchering it for the past 2 years, Jay.
I know. You never once corrected
me. I'm not the person. I'm not the type of person to correct anyone on that.
Hey, chef, can I ask you a question before you get started?
Of course.
So you won Chef of the Year this year or last year?
I won Chef of the Year for 2023.
Amazing.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Congratulations. That's really cool.
Thank you.
Very cool. And he's a cool guy. He's a cool kid. He's cool. And he works at the King Edward Hotel in downtown Toronto.
And I'm here right now.
Are you?
Yeah.
That looks a little different than your basement kitchen.
Yeah, exactly. Right?
Dude, I want that kitchen so badly in my house.
So do I.
Yeah, I want to. Yeah, it's a big illusions of grandeur for me when I'm cooking at home for the wife. You know.
Yeah.
Oh man, so chef, what are we doing tonight? What do we got on the menu?
So tonight we're working with a little bit of Beyond Meat. So the guys at Beyond Meat were nice enough to send over some burgers. They also sent over some sausages. So I cooked up one of each. I was thinking tonight just for the burger, we're just gonna go classic. We're gonna go with some Boston lettuce, tomato, and red onion, and then I also have this barbecue sauce. I've been in love with this on burgers for the past couple weeks. It's like
what kind of barbecue sauce is it?
It's actually a barbecue sauce made with balsamic vinegar.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, no, amazing flavor. When I found out about this stuff, it was like, the guy that told me about it, he's like, it's either you love it or you hate it, and I love it, so, yeah.
Is this mostly vegan, this dish? Is it fully vegan or no?
I'd say for the most part, yes.
Except for the bun?
Yeah, the bun, because we're using brioche.
Okay.
I wouldn't use anything else.
My favorite vegan is probably watching this in the whole world, so hopefully you show me something out of this.
Of course, of course. So we just have a nice brioche bun, toasted.
Hey, Michael.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to ask you questions because I've been telling people this kind of stuff forever. I always tell restaurants that they can change their menu without changing the menu. They can do a lot by just changing the bread, the sauces.
Yeah.
The bread and the sauces.
Bread and the sauces changes everything.
I would say the only problem with that operationally, I'm not a kitchen guy. This is Brian Duffy's lane. But obviously I know a lot about the kitchen. Is that causes all sorts of inventory issues, depending on what you're selling. So it can be very costly.
True.
Sauce is no big deal, but the bread can become very expensive when it's just sitting there and people don't order it.
Yes.
Well, I was thinking replacing.
I see. Oh, like a feature, like a weekly feature? Got it.
Yeah. So tell us that technique there, Chef.
Oh, this one? This is the hold and hit.
We call that the IHOP special.
Yeah, exactly. You know how you do it with those old those glass like Heinz ketchup bottles? You're supposed to like just hold it and hit. It comes out. It's perfect.
Well, the whole thing about the ketchup, how you hit the thing on the side, the actual, is it 57? Yeah. You hit
57
on the side, that whole thing knocked. It never seems to work for shit.
No, it never works. But I mean, it's always fun to watch people try.
So we have actually Beyond Meat is watching the show right now. So I've asked some crazy stats because Beyond Meat has also come up with some crazy stats recently. They also have a new ingredient deck that's in their products that they're coming out with, avocados. Chef, has this one got the avocado oil in it?
I'm pretty sure. Actually, that's a good question to ask Beyond Meat.
Yeah, I'm waiting for him to respond, James.
I mean, Beyond Meat had sent me a case of Smash Burgers, last summer. And I'm not sure if those had the avocado oil, but I've tasted this one and I've tasted the Smash Burger. A little bit different.
Beyond Meat just said no.
No? Oh, man. I was kind of looking forward to it.
Not in Canada yet. So, Chef, what makes a good burger? Tell us some technique here. You've made a few in your life.
I made a couple, but I've never worked in places that made burgers. So it's kind of hard to say. It's all personal experience. I'd say it's probably...
That kind of chef is what he's saying, Jay. I don't work at McDonald's.
I don't work at McDonald's, but I would work at Wendy's. I think a good burger is both the sauce and the toppings. And if it's built the right way, it's built the wrong way, it just falls apart. I heard somebody say that about a burger once. If it's built the wrong way, it'll just fall apart. Now, I never actually listened to them on how to build it, but I heard the saying. So,
Jeff, can I tell you my perspective on it? I think it's sexy as hell.
Yeah.
Here, on a culinary level, you'll appreciate this, being a foodie that I know you are.
Yeah.
So, and everyone knows in the sushi world, when sushi is on the high level, there's no difference in density or texture between rice and the fish. They're perfectly balanced.
Yeah.
You don't know where one ends and one begins, right? Yeah. There's way more love put into the rice even. It's love into all of it, you know what I mean?
Of course.
Outside of the firmness of the bun holding the burger, when you bite into a burger, the texture of the meat and everything else should blend right into the bun. There should be no texture difference in density. That's a perfect burger. Mm. Right? Like, it's the same with the rice and the fish. Like, yes, you're going to have different elements with tomato or things like that that might have different ripeness, but the meat and the bread needs to be one. And then it's just with cheese, and like, you get the good fat from that good meat. You know, you get a good, like, you know, when you're doing like a three blend, something good, like a short rib, you know, you get like, short rib or brisket and maybe like a sirloin, and it just goes to a tri-blend like that, and you get that mixed with the bread, and it just completely melts into one thing. It's fucking heaven.
Well, you know what? Even though you can't taste this tonight, I know you wanted to.
I did.
I know you wanted to. It's the look but you can't touch.
Yes.
But you know what? Having said that about, you know, the textures blending together and everything, I will try this. I will try it. And
you'll try this for us?
Yeah, I'll try this for you.
I was told that burgers are supposed to drip down your arm.
I mean,
that's good.
So
let's see here. Let's get close up to Beyond Meat. So James is all happy.
There we go. The Beyond Meat burger. James. So we're going to see how this goes.
Yeah, put that on social.
While you're chewing, you know what's great about that hat? It's obviously classic, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Classic chef attire.
It's all for Ratatouille.
In a whole like field of chefs, if someone says, Michael, who's going to cook your last meal? I'm going to point you and go, that guy.
That guy with the tall hat.
Yeah. With the hat,
yeah.
The guy with the hat. Let him cook it.
With the hat.
Michael, do you know the story of the hat?
Huh?
Do you know the story of the hat?
No, I don't at all. And I should.
Chef does.
I've heard a couple stories, but I want to hear your story, Jay.
No.
I want to hear yours.
No, I just heard that the higher the hat, the higher the position.
The higher the rank,
yeah.
I mean, it could be that.
Like what? Like Victorian age, maybe.
Maybe, yeah.
I'm serious.
Yeah. Well, no, it probably was. Did you say that? It probably was.
Yeah. I mean, most likely, but I mean, at the hotel here, we all wear them. So.
Well, yeah. It's not a motel either.
Yeah. Exactly.
So how's it taste, Chef? Give us a little bit of the taste here. Because Beyond Meat, I find that they taste incredibly different now. I know James is not the same one, so shush. But I think it does. It tastes different. Does it taste okay, Chef?
Tastes good. Yeah. Tastes good, yeah.
Michael, what's your take on the whole plant-based foods?
Well, honestly...
Now, be honest. You're not going to hurt James's feeling.
Well, obviously, I don't know. It depends. It just text me like how much money they're giving you for this. honestly, like I would say, when it first of all, like I'm a huge advocate. Obviously, it's better for the planet. It's awesome, but it's got, you know, it's not the same as like, you know, Bitcoin, right? Like they're not taking up energy all over the world, right? But they're, you know, it's like they're doing a great thing. So I think it's better. But I think it's actually just a precursor to the way the world is going. Not to go on a tangent here, but look, my daughter's 3 years old. When she's 15, they're going to talk about people used to smoke real cigarettes, drive cars with gas, and eat real meat. And it's in 12 years, it's probably going to be like a thing of the past. Like meat will still be there, of course, but it'll be high level, high grades of meat. I think the classic ground chuck will be replaced in food chemistry in 12 years from now. Like it'll be a necessity, right? Once it tastes the same, it will just be better. And I think what we're seeing is the beginning of the electric car in the late 90s, right? Yeah. Everyone's like, it's okay. Maybe it'll be electric cars. And now they're like, dude, it's the best thing ever because it outperforms a real car. And I think that's what's happening with Impossible and Beyond. I think that they're eventually going to crack the code. I think the tough part for people is that the calories and the health factor isn't that incredible in either one. When you look at how many chemicals are involved, mm-hmm. but at the same time, you're like, okay, well, there's a lot of chemicals involved with cows too. So, you know, it's not like, you know, unless you're eating Kobe beef, you know, it's like you're dealing with a lot of the same things. So it's grass fed, but, you know, but they're also eating grass from something that had toxic grain on it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the same way, Michael, is that I just think that the world, well, first of all, I think we're going to be forced to in a way because we just can't feed everyone. Yeah. Well, we have, and I'm because I'm right now in cattle country, and all I heard this week was the reduction of size of farms. The herds are being reduced huge. So it is unfortunate because it's just the cost is too much for farmers or ranchers to have the herds they used to in the past. So I think there's a lot of factors going into it, but you're right. As soon as they're getting close to cracking the code. I've been told by James from Beyond Meat that the avocado ones, which we're hoping to get into Canada, you might be able to have them in the U.S. maybe next week when I'm down there. But they say that it's a much better product. So I'm hoping because, and then I also think they understand that the chemicals have to be reduced or removed. But do you know I created a burger, Michael?
I was unaware of this fact.
Chef Danielle remembers my story. Don't giggle. It was a good idea. So we tried, I created, it was called the Flex Burger.
Okay.
So I reduced the cost of regular.
I'm looking at Daniel's face right now. It's just like
he's laughing because he knows this story.
Okay.
It was a good idea. So I created it was called the Flex Burger. Cardinal Meat made it for us. We actually won an award. For the top innovative product of the year. And it was a 50-50% blend of lentils and mushrooms, no chemicals, just literally lentils and mushrooms and some other products in there. And we reduced the cost of the burger patty, but didn't change the flavor profile because we used the high fat content in the ground beef. And we reduced it by 30% on cost. And it was awesome. The only problem is that we called it a flex burger and people just didn't know where to put it on the damn menu. So we couldn't sell any. We sold some, don't get me wrong.
Well, I imagine with the mushrooms, it had a cool texture. So I bet that was good.
It did. It didn't. It did. Like, honestly, I'm not just saying because we created a burger here across Canada that we tried selling. And there's probably a trailer somewhere in Toronto with it still from 5 years ago. But it was the texture was good. Like, it was so important. Like you said, the texture earlier you were mentioning about the bun. The texture was good. The flavor was good. There was lots of fat in it, so it was flavorful. Because we went with a higher percentage on the beef side, on the fat. And it was awesome. High protein because we had lentils in it. It was higher than a regular burger patty on protein.
I mean, look, we skipped one very important part of this. Probably one of the most important parts of this whole topic is how much better it is for the animals. Taking it back to looking in the mirror and saying you're full of shit with yourself is I'm a complete fucking coward. I love animals in every way. And the truth is, if I saw a cow on the street and it needed my help, I'd stop the fucking car and I'd carry it across the plane. Like, I'm that guy, right? But then I'll eat hamburger, no problem, because I know I'm so removed from it that if it was like, okay, I can have a T-bone steak tonight if I slit this cow's throat, but if not, I'll have a salad. I have a salad every three times a day.
Yeah.
I'm completely full of shit. So I know that like the animal's life is more important than my general satisfaction. Or my need for a steak. It just is. And even great chefs wouldn't kill an animal just to have a steak, right?
I would. But
no one wants, you're going to go to the bloodletting? it's going to look like carry, right? Mm-hmm. Just so you can have a steak. No, people don't do that. But because we're so removed from how the sausage is made, we love this stuff, right? So it's just when it comes to like standing up for animals, I think it's an awesome thing. And I think eventually we're not going to change what we are. We're carnivores, you know, even though we're technically herbivores, we're carnivores by nature. You know,
it is. And it is a big, like the beef market is billions. And I think Beyond is the plant based. I've been told by James, and James, I'm sure, will message me because he's listening to every word I'm freaking saying right now. It's 1 billion in plant-based sales in Canada, and I forget the other billions, but it's in the tens of billions when it comes to the beef. So it's not like there's a long way to go to move into a 10% market share of plant-based versus beef. But it's on the right road. It's on the right road. But I just want to ask, sorry, again, Michael.
I mean, Jay, think about this. What you're saying right now, literally, this is what amazes me about the time. Like, how, Chef Daniel, how old are you?
25.
Okay, you're 25. Jay, how old are you? 58, 60? How old are you?
Fuck you.
What are you, 40?
26. 46?
48.
Oh, I mean, you're right. Okay. But here's the thing. So I'm 45, so I got 20 on you, Daniel. Here's the thing. In my lifetime, this is what Daniel's not going to really be able to appreciate in the same way.
Yeah.
It's, I was born with like a rotary phone, right? Like, you know, you had to like spin it and the whole thing had the wire. I'm sure you did as well, you know. Yes. So it's just like, we've gotten into the world change so much. So even when you're like, oh, maybe you can only eventually get to 10%. We were talking about science fiction.
Yeah.
Like, literally like, oh, they make this fake meat in a lab and everybody eats it like a burger at Burger King. Oh, that's real. It's almost 10% of them. That's unbelievable that that's really happening. The most highest performing cars in the world are electric. Fucking unbelievable.
Yeah.
Right? Before you know it, everyone's going to have their own personal drone. I'm not kidding. They've been testing them in Japan for seven years now. They're going to be taxi. First thing is going to be ambulances that they're going to land in the middle of the intersection. We're experiencing such an amazing time in our lives. And we're talking about electronic cigarettes and fake meat.
Yeah.
And electric cars. It's incredible.
Yeah.
And we're just like, yeah,
I think it's awesome. I think it's unbelievable. Awesome. It's awesome. All right, Chef, let's get on to the next product here. Get on to the next. Well, actually, first of all, we did have a comment come in and ask you to squeeze the burger.
Squeeze the burger.
Never had that. All the shows I've done with food, I've never been asked to squeeze the burger.
You want to check that moisture and that consistency and that texture.
There you go. Squeeze away. I don't know. It looks like a burger to me. I know it's. There's some juice there.
It's like, let's move on.
Well, there is products out there that are drier and are bored.
Look at Jay's. Like, let's move on. Keep tips in his cage.
All right, Chef.
After I've destroyed that one. Completely right. Destroyed that
okay,
one.
Patrick was happy about that.
Thank I you, mean, Patrick. That was, it was a good burger. It was a, it good, was a burger. Good burger.
It was a good burger. Okay, what we got going next?
I mean, so.
Next is a sausage.
Exactly. Next is a steak.
Next is just
James
a
would just
sausage.
Be losing it, right, Jane?
Jay, you didn't even ask me what I'm drinking.
Yeah, no, I was going to get to that. Are you having a? Wait, what are you having? A light beer? is it a light beer?
I'm literally only drinking because you said this is like a late night.
Well, it was. It is. I know, but I'm in the middle of a fucking lobby. I can't have a beer in a lobby.
Why not?
Because it's not that kind of lobby. It's
not okay, got it. No, I'm having a very classy beer. Knowing
what is it?
You know that I've been on many, many you know, like shows in my life or my career on TV where everybody thinks I'm a hardcore mixologist, and it's a real thing. I was. Mixologist.
Oh yeah, yeah. Let's However, talk about that.
All the bar rescue crap. But what I'm drinking is PBR. So
oh, okay,
all you booze snobs out there, I'm drinking an American classic.
what is that?
What's what?
That.
This?
is that a Beyond sausage?
It is. It is. So I didn't want to go.
Have sausage? You ever had Beyond sausage?
I have. It's very good, actually.
It is.
They're actually very good. Very, very good. The what was the one they sent me in the summer, Jay? It was one of the spicy.
Thank you, James.
Sausages.
Very accurate.
Okay, sorry.
So this is one of the Beyond Meat sausages. Just cooked. Just seared it same way as the burger. I didn't want to go too crazy with this because, like, when I'm eating a sausage or anything like that, cooking a sausage at home, I don't really like to add too much to it. It's just the meat for me. I don't really need a bun. I don't really need the toppings. Not like a burger. Now, like we saw with that burger, we saw a little bit of juice come off that. This one, you can see that, Jay?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Quite a bit more. And honestly, the texture on this one is almost identical to...
Hey, are you guys Italian by chance?
I am, yeah.
Okay, is that what he meant by hot Italian? Okay, got it.
Yeah, yeah.
Got it.
I was going to say, Ashton's not Italian, just so you know. Michael's like...
It's okay, though. Remember, Jay, I was probably disowned by the Italians after our first show with the pasta.
Yeah, we don't want to talk about pasta of 2023.
Hey, Chef, let me ask you a cooking question, if this is stupid or not. Could you sear that in like a really heavy avocado oil to give it a little more of like that fat where it's going to be probably way too oily, but at least it would be a little more like a real sausage?
Yeah, of course.
Have a Beyond Meat really bathed in avocado oil.
Of course. That was just seared in veg oil, cooked in veg oil, and then popped in the oven. But if we sear that in a heavy avocado oil, yeah, of course. Even the burger, we'd have a lot more juice coming off of it, like a lot more fat content in it. Using an oil with like a heavy oil like that, we're definitely going to have a lot of...
What about this? What if you got avocado oil and you really put a lot of Italian seasoning, even good spices in it, and you punched holes in the Beyond sausage and you marinated it for like 24 hours in the avocado oil and then you cooked it?
Of course. Yeah, if we marinated the sausage, yeah, and some Italian seasonings, you know, maybe some chili flakes in there, yeah, we could definitely get some heat, some other flavors in there. But then again, Beyond Meat also has a couple different flavors for their sausages. So
James, you know, can you list them? Because I know you're creeping us on the show tonight.
I love it. I know, Daniel, have you noticed that Jay does this thing? I think it's very funny, and I do appreciate it. Thank you, Beyond Meat.
Interrupt people? Sorry.
No, I love the way that, thank you, Beyond Meat, for everything you're doing for the planet. However,
of course.
I think it's funny that Jay's made his, eventually, it's basically his sponsors, he's made them stalkers.
Oh, of course.
He's like, oh, look, Burger King's creeping on us again. Right?
The right guy was on a few minutes ago.
There it is. Oh, look, it's like he takes a girl on a date, and then immediately, because she calls him the next day to say, hey, that was really fun, he's like, oh, she's stalking me. Yeah. Unbelievable, this guy.
Well, James is a little stalky me. He's great. Anyways,
no, I know. I knew he'd be watching tonight. I knew he would.
No, he was waiting. He's got a big bowl of popcorn.
Sorry, I'll be on my own podcast soon, James. I'd love to talk to you.
Exactly. Anyways, so Chef, what's in that bowl there? What is that?
It's just salad. Just a little bit of arugula, some radish. Huh?
Do you carrots in there? Little flowers?
Yeah, a couple carrots. Just some carrot ribbons, some radish.
Oh, here you go. Look at that.
A little bit of something.
There you go, Michael. I knew James would do that.
I like it.
Yeah. You're lucky I don't have my little Italian freaking co-host on tonight. Dominic would have been all over this. Anyways, Chef, it's awesome that you jumped on tonight. I just want to thank you. I know it's late in Toronto right now. It's 10:30. It's past your bedtime. And I do know you have to get up early. I just want to thank you so much for jumping on tonight, sharing some Beyond Meat with us. And Beyond Meat, James, we love you. You know I love you. You know I have Beyond Meat stuff all over my house. I would get a tattoo, but, well, you know, if you pay me enough, I will.
We love it. We love Beyond Meat.
I'm trying to get tattoos at the show in Chicago next week.
Really? Are you being serious?
Yes, I'm trying to fucking get – well, I had a show today with Dine, and I challenged him with a tattoo at the food show in Chicago.
What are you going to get? What are you going to get?
Well,
Tabasco? What are you going to get?
Right? Wouldn't that be fun?
I mean, it depends. I mean, is it going to be one of those things where it's like, who can get the dumbest tattoo, or is it going to be like something iconic?
Ooh, no, because I will definitely win on that. I'll fucking come home with something on it.
Yeah, it's like, why do you have a bottle of hoisin sauce tattooed on your back?
Exactly. Yeah. It's like that, a blue whale on my fucking side.
Yes.
Exactly.
Blue whale is way too noble. There'd be some girl that would see it, or your wife, who would go, oh my God, that's amazing.
Rose on his back. James, come on.
Anyways, his second rose on his back.
Yeah, exactly. Second rose. Anyways, James, thank you so much. And Chef, thank you so much for everything. You have a great evening.
Thanks, Chef.
We're going to have you back on the show again, and we'll do a different food. I got over 100 or 400 different food vendors that we can definitely pick different products from. What would you like to cook next? Tell me, and I'll just find you that. What would you like to cook with? What are you dying with? Tell me before you leave.
I don't know. Well, we're going to stay away from meatballs. We're going to stay away from the meatballs. I still have those in the freezer.
Okay.
I don't know. You know what?
Michael, they sent him so much meatballs that he can't.
Chef, can I suggest something?
Of course.
No, I mean serious. Like as a foodie.
It's good.
I bought a couple of things. Meatball. No, I would actually suggest the most common thing that's very boring is how to make chicken great. Like, to be able to do like a seared chicken breast with like skin on, be able to do that in the oven. Like, for people to make that at home and make chicken really good is not easy for people. They don't understand it. They don't understand, like, you lose a lot when you pull the skin off, right? Even if it has a cooking technique.
Yeah.
Like, things like that. Even if you just use the skin just for the cooking. Like, but if you could do a basic piece of chicken, I think a lot of people would be interested in how the hell do I make basic chicken amazing?
Actually, Jay, you know what? Let's do something like that.
All right.
Let's chicken do something like that. Yeah.
I will find you chicken.
Let's do some basic cooking. Some basic, you know, cooking techniques.
Grilled cheese.
Basic dishes people can do at home.
I know, but like those
but grilled cheese is actually a good idea, Jay, because
I know.
You do variations of a grilled cheese. Like, I tell people, the minute you throw a tomato on a grilled cheese, you're a hero. Right? Like,
we're doing VLTs.
Well, see, now you're going down a road. Now you're shaking hands with the devil because you're getting into bacon and you're doing all these things. I mean, for God's sake,
the bacon's a little wild.
Yeah, it's a little wild. No, but I mean, the whole thing about grilled cheese. Let's talk about the economy.
Okay? All right, Chef. You have a good night. I know you got to get home. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Chef.
Have a good one.
There you go, Michael. That was our first cooking segment. Just because you're on the show tonight, we introduce something new to our late night. This is what makes us not a podcast.
It was fun. That was very cool. He's a great guy.
He is, really is. You know, I've done probably around 1,000 shows with chefs and cooking like this and stuff like this. And Chef has been on so many times. We've had so much. I'm not going to say his name because I'll fuck it up. But I've had him on so many times. He's just outstanding. I love watching chefs get on here. And we've had so many incredible chefs come on and show some cool ideas. We did a show series called Foodies in Cars, where I don't know if I told you this, but we made chefs cook in the car. And they drove around with another chef driving. It was hilarious as shit.
You never told me that. That's
no. Okay. We did a show. It was called Foodies in Cars. It was just like comedians in cars. And then we had Chef Jeanette would pick up another chef in downtown Toronto from their restaurant. They would jump in the passenger seat. And then we would drive around. I would stream them in, do a podcast with them while they're driving around, asking the chef questions and Chef Jeanette. And then Jeanette, they didn't know, they got into the hot seat, which was where they cooked the meal. So the glove department was actually the black box. Mm. And they had like, she'd pull out like the frying pan behind the seat. And then the, like all these different things. And like, it was incredibly freaking hilarious. And by the end of the drive, they had created a dish in the passenger seat. And it was awesome. It was absolutely incredible. So we did a, I don't know how many of those shows. And it was, we actually, Sean did one from his barbecue truck out in San Diego. And yeah, we had a lot of fun with that. We had a lot of fun with Foodies and Cars. And someone's, one of the guys, one of the chefs I know now in Toronto is doing another one, but it's so serious. We were not serious. But it all started from, I think it was in California. They started the, trying to reinvent the whole eating in cars during COVID. That's where I got the idea from. And then I did a show with six chefs that had to cook in their car. And for the show that we did, it was before we started the series. And we had Chef Jeffrey from Pasta Montana. He's in his car and he's sitting there and he keeps texting me, "Jay, gotta hurry, man. You gotta hurry." And I'm like, "Why?" Like he's sitting there, he looks fine. But he didn't tell me that he's in his garage in Arizona and he couldn't run the car. So he's sitting there and it's getting hotter and hotter and hotter during the day. So he's sitting there and you can see the sweat starting to go down his face.
Close up on the bead of sweat. Yeah.
I'm so sorry, dude. You should have told me you're in your car in the garage in Arizona in the summer. Come on. And James was actually working for a different company at the time. He was on the 401, on the side of the 401 highway, cooking a meal with a chef in one of those pullouts. We had so much fun, but yeah, we started that series. So we've done a lot of cool things with chefs and I just love having them on the show. And I love giving them the spotlight because they all deserve it. And I couldn't get to do what I get to do without them. So I met a chef today at the restaurant that we got to go talk with this afternoon. And man, the old chefs, the guys that have been doing it for 30, 40 years, there's not too many of those classics around anymore. And they're just incredible to sit with and learn from and hear their stories. And, you know, they come in and they'll, you know, ask them how much they portion stuff. And they'll be like, "What? Yeah, this is my portion."
Well, right? The thing about chefs that's funny is I always say, there's obviously this business side to being a chef, right? That's very tough on chefs. But it's like saying, imagine if a painter, if their canvas dissolved that night.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's kind of what it is. It's
really good. I never thought of it that way.
Yeah, like every single night you do a painting and the canvas dissolves and you got to tell people about it. I mean, luckily they have pictures now, but it's just not the same thing as consuming it. So, you know, it's like, they deal that. And then a lot of them, and I always compare chefs to artists and painters, because you don't have to be a good painter to say that you're the greatest painter in the world. Meaning it's also subjective that somebody who says, "I'm a great painter," it's like, okay, you know, and their food sucks if they're a chef, you know. And then some chefs don't have any illusions of grandeur. They're incredibly humble and they care about process. Some are not, but at the end of the day, it's a winning of the masses. If the masses say this is special, then you're someone just like an art. Right. So it's an interesting way of looking at it, because obviously artists get criticized because they have no real understanding of budgets many times. Right. Mm-hmm. In business, or you're an artist, or like, even in myself, I don't really consider myself an artist. I don't really consider myself an entrepreneur. I mean, I do. And then at the same time, I'm an entrepreneur and people say I'm, you know, business. I don't really care about any of it. For me, it's more about what are you creating all the time. So I guess that makes you artistic. Not to make it about me, but what I'm saying is, I think that chefs in that same way look at it and go, "I'm not an artist, but I'm a chef," you know. And yet they have the ideology and the mentality of a chef, and they get frustrated by money. They get frustrated by limitations. They want better plates because that's their canvas.
Yeah.
Right. So I don't think at times they even give themselves enough credit for it, but it's an interesting thing. Like everything else, there's always a budget. Same with designers. You know, you give a designer a space to do a hotel and they have a difficult time with budget because they want to paint what's in their brain, you know? Yeah. So, but chefs are amazing. They're also a complete fucking royal pain in the ass. they're very difficult. They're sensitive. They also have a ton of weight on their shoulders and an immense amount of pressure. not just from creating great food, but really managing an entire kitchen and a business within a business. You know, so it's a tough road to hoe. And I think that the chef world is different than it used to be, because in today's world, what the executive chef was 20 years ago is not what it is now.
No.
People walk in and really work like a sous chef. And for you guys out there who don't know, a sous chef, or the number two in the kitchen, really is the person who runs the line and works with the line cooks now during service, where an executive chef typically is always in the back doing admin work and building the kitchen and managing the kitchen and building recipes and a million other things. But in today's world, a lot of the new sous chefs call themselves an executive chef because they're the lead person in the kitchen. Mm. And they don't do a lot of the admin work. But I think chefs who love to cook would prefer being a sous. I don't want to deal with that.
Yeah.
It's like I always compare the sous and the executive to saying the executive would be like the president of basketball and the sous is the coach. You know, it's just a different thing. So the kitchen is its own world.
Michael, I want you to tell us in the next minute here all about Maverick Theory. And then we're going to wrap up, because I know your time's precious. And I just want to thank you again for tonight. And it is an honor. It literally is.
Dude, this is amazing. First of all, I love you, dude. You're such an awesome person. Like, I'm just so happy to – this is the first time I've ever done one of these. Or I've never done one of these before. I've only done podcasts. But where I've just been like – the minute I met you, I'm like, I really love this dude. I'm like, I just want to get to know him better and be part of his world. So Maverick Theory is a company that I launched with two other co-founders, David and Arno, David Foss and Arno Stemmer. And, you know, it's been a pretty cool journey. I've gotten to the point where we built basically a talent agency and a consulting firm. It's been pretty epic.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean,
you got 30 more seconds. Keep going.
Oh, keep going. Great.
Yes. Keep going.
No, I mean, look, we basically built the ultimate resource for the industry. And we did a great setup through Bar and Restaurant Expo this year in Vegas. We launched, and we have been inundated nonstop ever since. Basically, everybody in the country in North America wants to open a bar or restaurant. And we wanted to build a team of, I think right now we have 33 consultants, and not just consultants, people who are working at the highest level, Michelin rated, James Beard nominated, but all most importantly, great people. Wow. So we basically become the resource for the industry. And it's like, that's a big thing to say about your own company. We're at the fetal beginning of it, but it's been just that from the start. So it's been pretty awesome. Very grateful to work with so many incredible people that make me look great.
Oh man, I don't think that's that hard. But first of all, I want to thank you. It is, like I said before, it's a pleasure. It's an honor to meet you and to have you on our late night. I apologize, Dominic's not here. He's hanging with Sean Walsh Chef in San Diego. I think he's on a date. I don't know if I was supposed to say that, but I think he is. Anyways, What?
Thank you for not asking me any bar rescue questions. Not that I have a problem talking about it. This is
that'll be part two, man. I'm not gonna shoot everything off at once. We'll have you back. By the way, you're coming back. And we always love having our guests back a few times until they go, no, I can't do that anymore on your show. But you are definitely going to come back. And I have to have my little Italian stallion with me, Dominic. And I missed my co-host because, he asked a lot smarter questions than I do. And I think he's a cool dude too. So I definitely miss him. But I just want to thank you. We'll talk about bar rescue stuff. You know, it's funny because I did a whole bunch of interviews with rock stars, and they actually said the same thing. They're like, thank you for not asking about music because we just talked about food.
It was really fun hanging out with Chef Daniel and just like, beyond beef. So it's good.
We'll have another chef on. We'll have you back. We'll have another chef on, and we're going to do chicken. Like you said, we'll hold ourselves to that. And once again, thank you again for joining us, and to everyone else. Well, check us out at the National Restaurant Association show in Chicago. We are
You Americans, it's the NRA show, and it's not the National Rifle Association.
Exactly. Association. We can't say Rifle in Canada, but it is the National Restaurant Association, or the NRA show in Chicago. We are honored, and I am blown away that we are the only Canadian podcast that is going to be there. at this show. We are honored to be on their stuff, and we're so glad. I'm blown away just to go there. People are like, "Oh, we can do all these things." No, I just want to go there, you know, grab a snack and just walk around with my mouth on the ground. But anyways, thanks to the NRA and to yourself, Michael. It is an honor, and to everyone else. And everyone else, please, please, please watch us every day, Monday to Friday, only late night show on the what do you say, on the air? I don't think you said
airwaves.
Airwaves on the social? On the social? Does that make you sound old? It's like I heard someone say the Google this week here in Saskatoon.
The Google waves.
The Google. You just gotta go to the Google. All right. Anyways, have a great evening, everyone.